Breastex, good morning.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is the person?
Yes, this is he.
My name is Pedro Belgrave. I am blind. Mm-hmm. I just want to call in to let the public of Barbados know, thanking them, actually, for the support they have given me. I was blind now for the past 3 years, mm-hmm. and I had retinal detachments. And I tried to get them fixed here in Barbados, but it didn't work out. I tried going overseas to Cuba.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened with that? Was that successful?
No, that was not successful because the optic nerves, the retinas can be put back on.
Mm-hmm. But the nerves are ruined.
But the nerves are bad. My auto was basically saying, not the same way, because both my retinas came off basically the same time.
Okay.
So I just want to thank Corporate Barbados who helped me and the people in Barbados who supported me in my fundraising activities that I held. Right? And I just come on here to let everyone know, let the public of Barbados know that the operation wasn't done, and I just thanking him for the support.
The support. What do you plan to do next, though? Because obviously there are a couple of things you would have to do. One is to adjust to your new reality. And two, I am sure, pretty sure, that treatment is not something you could just stop one day just like that.
No, I still want to do. I still want to get treatment. See, mm-hmm. I still got a couple more options that I probably trying to pursue in terms of get invite some places to probably see what they can do. But the Cubans have said that it would be no sense. But in terms of adjusting, I am adjusting pretty well. Before I was, the hardest thing is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't fully upset, but I come to that point very upset, which I most that I am blind. There's places that I go. I'm a couple organizations for blind people. Mm-hmm. One is National Society for the Blind, NUSB,
right.
Where the former Senator Karen Eiffel.
Mm-hmm.
She is the president. Mm-hmm. I'm also in one named Barnard.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm on our executive board also. So,
good. So yeah, you're keeping active and you're keeping engaged.
I'm also from St. Andrew. I'm also still involved in football. I'm in charge of the junior armor of the St. Andrew Lions football team.
Good. Good.
Right. I try to adjust. I'm doing classes, computer classes.
Mm-hmm.
We still
That could help you see a lot of things. And I put "see" in inverted commas because there are ways to engage now online and with apps and various ways in which you could stay engaged. But one of the things I would like to encourage you to do though is to encourage people to take care of their eyes. Because I don't think a lot of people pay attention to caring for the eyes. And today, with all the things that we stare at for long periods, dust, smog, smoke, various things that affect our vision, we don't pay attention to it until it's too late. And I'm speaking to you as someone who has visual problems, okay? Including glaucoma. So it's one of the things that you have to, when you become aware of it, you then suddenly realize, you know, how important the transition is from not being able to focus and difficulties that some people put down to just age. But then you realize that there are other things wrong with you. Now, I know a couple of people who have retina problems and they are visually impaired. And I have, you know, spoken to them and they are also engaged in keeping themselves occupied and getting on with their lives. And the message I would like you to send to a lot of people is that when these things happen to you, it's not the end of your life. Because a lot of people just give up and say, well, what I can do now? And it's good to have support and encouragement.
It's good to have. After blindness, there's still life. Because there are enough things out there that we as blind people mm-hmm. can be involved in, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are games. There's, as I said, computer studies. They got people that do that, even though math and English got CSCs.
Mm-hmm.
We can still function in life. We are still functionable. in life.
That's why I'm glad to hear about the football and things, eh, man? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I also in cricket, in blind cricket.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a group, UBCC, United Blind Cricket Club.
Mm-hmm.
We are still functional, but as I said before,
mm-hmm.
and I encourage people to, I would encourage people to take care of their eyes, because I'm just my 40s. I'm my 40s. I lose my eyesight basically 3 years ago.
3 years ago, right. So you still got... You got the good thing. The good thing is that you have the experience of the prior to losing it, and now you can at least visualize some things that those who are born with the, you know, with visual problems would not be able to. But I, you know, just the fact that you've taken the time to say thanks and to explain that there is life and that you're working on it, I think will be an inspiration to others. So hang in there, and I keep hoping for the best for you. And hopefully, somewhere on the horizon, you'll be able to, you know, at least get a little ease from having to live on medication and drops and a regime of, well, the challenges you will face, because mobility will become a problem as you get older. Thanks for sharing with us. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Good
morning, sir.
I wish you a very healthy and blessed new year.
Thank you very much, sir, and the same to you.
Now, I have a few points here to make, comments of my own.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Senator Minister Bradshaw's speech on our medical problems, and I was very impressed, and as it was a very informative address. And I'm glad that she mentioned the uses of dogs. On this program, about 5 years ago, I put it out there and nobody took it up to run with.
Mm-hmm.
But dogs are very, very helpful to people when they're sick, especially when they're older.
Mm-hmm.
And people would not know that patting a dog for about 5 minutes lower your blood pressure. It's a very good idea if you could get it into force where we could have dogs going into the hospital and especially the senior citizens' home. There are a lot of psychological benefits they can get.
They also can alert people having heart attacks. I don't know what we did to ever earn this thing called a dog, but they're wonderful creatures. And yep,
that's right.
Therapy, they're therapeutic, they understand human nature, and they do bring a sense of calm to some people. They are used extensively in other types of environments by people who understand their uses, and they're trained to give care and to help people who have visual problems. Yep, it's a good idea, sir. It's a good
thing. But I would like to see it put into force, because it could be another avenue for employment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where the dogs have to be trained in America, the ones they have to go to training. And come out as doctors.
They come out with certification for sure. Yes, they do. They're remarkable creatures. I can't disagree with you on that one, sir. We're on the same page.
Yeah, the others. You're not looking over my shoulder.
Apparently we are.
The other one I want to comment about is there's a weed killer called Roundup that it bears cancer, gives people cancer that use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spoken several times on this program, and you can still go to somebody hardware and get a pint, but it carries to people, and it is known throughout the world. They're not using it in America anymore.
And it's still here?
And we still have it here. And nobody does anything.
Maybe they think we have built up some immunity to it, so it is
probably.
It is unfortunate that we continue to stock things and make them available to the public, that sometimes you ask yourself, do we have any organization or organizations that check these things. I'm told there is, and when I make these remarks, I'm told, you know, you're not being fair, that they do check, random checks and periodic checks, and that we're safe. But there are things that I see from time to time being offered for sale, and I can't find any English written on it.
Right.
And I keep wondering, if we're an English-speaking country, why would I be allowed to import something into the country that has no English written on it? And they tell me, oh, maybe the person brought it in, you know, on their own.
I go, okay. That's the side.
Yep. And then we spray it indiscriminately too, without even covering ourselves, protecting our eyes, as I mentioned to the previous caller, or even our hands. And then we lose our nails, or we get rashes on, we're trying to figure out where it came from.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're perfectly right. Mm-hmm. The other point is that now we're gathering. I have suggested that at the board of every parish, we could have a column listing the outstanding Barbadians from that parish so that visitors and Barbadians alike could be made knowledgeable of where some of our great heroes came from.
That, sir, is a good step in getting people aware of who and what the other people that we call them, our unsung heroes are. The only proviso I would put to that, sir, is that whoever erects it, whether it's government, private sector, joint venture, that we maintain it, because I don't think we have a strong enough reputation for maintaining the things we erect. Street signs fall down, things get defaced. Westbury Wall, for example, was repainted in yellow, and then it became a place to put up FET notices. See less of them on our lampposts these days, but that used to happen too. Well, we pay little attention to maintenance, so. Thanks for your contribution, sir. I really like the one on the dogs. I like your ideas. They're good ones. The pesticide one, we can have to keep working on that for a while until we weed it out of our existence. John smiles. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Happy year to you.
Thank you, and to you too. Thank you.
God bless you and your family. I was very glad to hear you speak about the call before your last one about eye problems.
Visual problems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, visual problems. Actually, I have a problem this morning, though. I am going to miss an appointment today. Because I have not received my national insurance pet check. And tomorrow's about holiday. I don't even know if I'm going to receive our national insurance check. It's unfortunate that we the national insurance actually.
When is it usually due?
It's due today.
Today, the 20th.
And they have not sent them out. The various establishment that we asked them to send them to, the various bank and whatever.
You mean the bank hasn't received it?
No, not everything. Quite unionized. That is very sensitive as far as the government is concerned. Quite a few should be working on these things first. Tomorrow's a bank holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss a very important appointment this afternoon. Thank you very much, sir, for listening.
Sir, thanks for raising that. One of the challenges, I think, I saw the Prime Minister talking about we have to, you know, become world class, we have to step up. There are several things we have to do in this step up. One is to deliver services on time. Two is to pay attention to the way we serve people. But we also have to ensure that the institutions we set up, and I'm choosing my words carefully here, the institutions we set up to serve the public and to be the vanguards, the guards of our civilization, of our development, that they actually work. Speaking to the previous caller about pesticides that would be banned in one place and allowed to come into Barbados, just one of the issues. From time to time, we have recall of manufacturers' products. These days, I notice more of them are finding their way to Barbados shelves, apparently, than they used to in the past. Vehicles that are recalled for problems that seem not to come to Barbados, although I suspect some of them might be here. We set up institutions. I'm going to ask this question, because in all the talk I've heard, it's one that keeps bugging me. We recently had a trial in the United States of a former government minister, and people made their comments pro and con because of politics. But you have an institution in Barbados that was accused of doing something that was irregular, that they pleaded guilty, paid a fine to not be prosecuted in the United States. But whatever activity that was done, that they pleaded guilty to, was done in Barbados. And we have a Financial Services Commission that did what about it? So if I'm an American with a lot of money in my back pocket, I want to come to Barbados to invest in Barbados or to buy a hotel, because we seem to be selling hotels left, right, and center, or building them. I came to Barbados and I asked, wait, isn't that the company that had a problem in my hometown of the U.S. and was charged and stuff? So what you all did? Or can I, you know? And you say, oh, nothing, because, you know, they didn't concern us. You think that will be a good tick for Barbados in my books? We got to step up in a lot of places. But we're afraid to take the first step, because apparently we're not too sure we could step up. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. My phones don't work too well, but I hope you'll give me a few more minutes than I usually get. I know you're dealing with more. Please forgive me.
No, you can go ahead.
And also,
sir.
I get the feeling that's a hit and run situation when I come online.
Well, no, I don't think so. But go ahead.
Yeah, what I want to talk about, Mr. Johnson, because I know that we get used to speak about local issues like the tap not running, or they heard someone didn't get their pension. Actually, they're coming out, so that person should be sure that sometime today they will get their pension, because I've heard a few of my friends in the same category who said the same thing, who then shortly after got theirs. What I want to talk about is the disturbing geopolitical situation we have, which is affecting the Caribbean, and I know this is also affecting Africa. I say Africa because that's really our homeland, the majority of us, not all, the majority of us. And I noticed that our Prime Minister, who was becoming more and more like a real world-class leader, she has turned down an invitation to go and to another country to visit with the Secretary of State. I think she did that with a heavy heart, because it came more as a shock to see the ongoing process where individual territories are being picked off to go to these meetings, and they feel very smart about it. They have sat down with the American Secretary of State. It's kind of disrespectful, I thought, but it seems that she has a similar feeling. I say that in the view of the... Hello? 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 Hello?
So,
hello?
So
hello?
I don't know.
I see.
So I don't know why you keep saying hello, because I'm listening to you and you're going fine. I don't know what happened on your end, but nothing has happened on mine. I can hear you clearly.
This morning, I noticed that a whole bunch of African leaders from what were described very disrespectful countries are now in London at a time, a critical time for the British former colonial masters. These things are disturbing, because we have a geopolitical situation now where the big powers are fighting for influence in both the South America, or rather the and Caribbean areas, and Africa. And I just hope at some time we from Small CARICOM and the African territories, we can all get together and look at what the way forward for us and not be allowed ourselves to be picked off one by one by one big power or another. I think you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. But you see, so once you and this is the intriguing thing about what you call geopolitics, huh? Once you are in the business of requesting financial assistance, whether it is aid, grants, whatever, they come with not only strings, they come with rope. I ain't calling them strings anymore. So you go and you genuflect and you say, yes, we will change this law and we'll amend that law and we will do what you say, yes sir, no sir, three bags full, sir, just give us a little few of the shekels, a little coin of the realm. And we're happy to do it. We're very happy to do it, sir.
Yeah.
It's called developmental aid. Yeah.
But there was a situation, now you talk about aid, where of all places in the United Nations you're hearing, if y'all don't vote with us, you're not getting any aid. That was
correct.
The worst you said.
Correct.
These things are really insulting, and our people just take this, and the minute they get an opportunity to go and sit with what they consider the great gods of the earth, they run off and desert their fellows. And I feel it is something that should be brought up to the fore with our people. You have to stand together, because if not, we need to have two South American countries with vast reserves of oil. And I would predict that soon from now, that is going to become a problem. Because wherever we've had oil, it becomes a problem. And you're going to see this geopolitical fight to get to those resources.
Sir, I don't know why you think we will see it now, because it has happened already. I recall in the past Guyana saying that their future lay in their South American heritage and not the Caribbean, that they were only considered Caribbean because they were British territories at one point, and we were all British at the time. Suriname and Dutch Guiana have never identified with the English-speaking Caribbean. You have Martinique and Guadeloupe, although they lie in the Caribbean chains, they're French dependencies. You have the Bahamas that always consider themselves North American in their outlook until disaster strikes, and then they're Caribbean. You have Puerto Rico that's a U.S. dependency until they have a natural disaster and then the United, or a drug problem, and then they become Caribbean and Latin America. So we've always been separated by these colonial and non-colonial powers, once they're called superpowers. You had the issue with Cuba and the missile crisis and the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, and then you had what they call the axis of evil that stretched across to Grenada when Morris was in power. And that, too, was used to separate the islands of the Caribbean. So these, it's not only oil, sir, it's just resources. Any resources that you have to depend on somebody else to exploit for your benefit will mean that you will be manipulated by those for whom you request assistance. It's human nature and the power of being a power. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Can you tell me, Mr. Johnson, when Barbados is going to withdraw from the Human Rights Commission and institute the death penalty?
I don't think one is dependent on the other.
Well, I'm amazed that we can't find an answer to this crime situation. I listened to the CBC year in review and realized that in February last year, the Prime Minister and others saw that they were going to get a hold on crime, and 1 year later, nothing has done. In fact, I think it has got worse. But it's ridiculous that hardworking, innocent citizens can lose their lives because they have accumulated some kind of wealth or in a position where they, you know, make money when the day come, and as I read in yesterday's paper, can just lose their lives like that. This is really out of hand, and we're talking about the regathering and bringing people from the diaspora back to Barbados to face this kind of situation.
So, The mandatory death sentence is what was the issue. In other words, if you were found guilty of murder, it was mandatory that you got the death sentence. That has been removed. So we had two people recently who apparently pleaded guilty to murder because that had been removed. Then there's a period in which you should exhaust all your appeals, and if that happens, you could, if the sentence is death, you could face the death penalty. The challenge that we face, sir, is the clogging up of our justice system that makes it difficult for swift trials, one. Two, the unreliability of our evidence gathering process. And I'm using that term guardedly because it's a powerful accusation to make, but when you read in the newspapers of files that can't be found or things that are not ready to be presented to court 11 years after a crime has allegedly been committed, and the people being told you're free to go because your papers backing up the accusation not in place, we have a problem, sir, that stems far greater and wider than just the taking of a life, even under cruel circumstances. If you are going home at 2 o'clock in the morning and you see somebody coming out of your house with your valuables under their arm, and when you go into your house, you see your family in disarray. Perhaps somebody raped, perhaps somebody murdered. And 12 years after that happens, sir, the case has not been called. The person who you identified has not been brought to justice. Your family is still either grieving or not recovered from the trauma. How do you feel?
Awful.
Exactly.
Awful.
Exactly. And there's several cases like that, sir. So when people lose faith in the justice system, when people don't believe they'll be held to account for what they have done, then they'll do anything. So it's not about it's not about the Commission on Human Rights alone. It's not about, it's a whole series of things that we're not paying attention to.
But my understanding was that we didn't have the death penalty because we remember.
I know that, sir. I know. And that's why I tell you, we use these things. Oh, we can't hang anybody because we signed on to the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights. And,
but I know they're hanging.
And they're going to, of course, they got all kinds. Not only hanging, sir, they got lethal injection. Right. They got all sorts of other things. They might have, you know,
we are by
firing squad soon if somebody asks for it. But we use these things as a shield rather than saying, let's fix everything else that's wrong.
Well, I just want the 30 representatives to understand that many of us are not happy with the situation that obtains now. And I was prone to call after reading yesterday's story in the Sunday Sun. I mean, it is really hard to take. My sympathy is with that family who lost their hardworking dad and spouse.
I don't think he's the only one that's happened.
No, I know, but you know, that forced me to call, and I hope that our representatives and parliamentarians take note that we are registering our displeasure with what is going on. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well, sir. It is unsettling, I think, for those guys in particular, especially those who work late at night, and it again puts paid to some of the plans we have for increasing the nightlife in our country. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning.
Afternoon. Morning.
It's still morning. You ain't got there yet.
Well, what I want to tell you is that among the persons who is saving from my pension, there is the change today. The gentleman calling said it's coming up today.
Mm-hmm. But it's the effective date that is today. So you should have got it since last week.
Yes. And what happened, though, is it's close to 12. And See, my resume for me, when I get my pension at Cambridge, so I get a change. I tell you, it ain't going to come. So I got to miss my appointment, too, and call my taxi man if it come before a certain time. So my auto is coming out today. He is ready coming out today. But it's a change today. That means we should have to surgery on Friday. Agreed?
Agreed. I have a note here.
Thanks a minute, sir. Thanks a minute. I listen, you know, thanks a minute. Don't go no further. I agree with me. It should be changed today and not come up today.
I agree, sir. I can't say no. I can't say no to that. Sir, I totally agree with you. You should have it since Wednesday or Thursday if you got to change it today.
To change today. But he's going to it coming out today. That means he got to change Wednesday. Got to mother hide it.
That is correct. Sir, I noticed somebody sent me a note here saying that in relation to the pension situation, I understand from a source that there was a problem and a few thousand people have not received their pensions. It's unfortunate that the NIS has not issued a statement.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I keep wondering why these entities have corporate communication specialists, why we have the Government Information Service. And if we have a problem, when did we discover the problem? And when would it have been a good time to alert people to the fact that we have a problem? Because if from Thursday of last week or Wednesday of last week,
They should have been posted. I'm so glad you're talking so good. I am so glad to hear you talk. I hope a lot of people listening to you.
Sir, people don't listen to me, man. Don't worry about it. We're just having this chat, you and I. Nobody is listening. Let me say to you, if you're supposed to have your checks mailed, and I ain't only talking to the NIS too, I'm talking to other companies too. If you're supposed to have checks mailed by Wednesday or Thursday so that people can cash it on Monday of the following week, if you have a problem, you either discover that problem Wednesday or Thursday. So a notice should have been out Wednesday or Thursday telling people, we have a problem with the checks. We don't know that you will be able to get it to you so you can cash it by Monday. There's a certain service company in this country that I keep getting the bill after the discount date. And it can't be a mail person problem because my mail person is fairly efficient. And I get all my other bills, all, before the discount date. I get Water Authority before the discount date. I get natural gas before the discount date. Get Light and Power before the discount date. There's one entity that I keep getting it after the discount date. So it can't be the mail person. It has to be them sending it out late. So if you have a problem, I know the National Insurance used to have a corporate communication specialist. The gentleman I know has another title now and he's doing something else. But anyway, I hope they hear my sarcastic comment and respond. Stay with us.